Well, after 4 weeks, we have new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. And having now seen the entire tournament and the way that they ended it, it was pretty much what I figured it would be, which was a gigantic waste of time. All of this buildup, all of these weeks, really it was months if you think about it, because they told us months ago they were going to have a tournament to crown new champions, and then we didn't hear anything about it. And then Vince McMahon went away, Triple H took over, he said, let's crown new women's tag team champions. And the tournament went through several changes. Of course, we had the original NXT team couldn't make it because Zoe Stark allegedly got injured. And then we had Toxic Attraction inserted, and they won. But then Gigi Dolin got hurt, so then they got bounced out of the tournament, and they had to do a whole second chance four-way, and it was a whole mess. This whole tournament was cursed from day one. But all of this build to get to Raquel Rodriguez and Aaliyah as the new women's tag team champions, one of the many makeshift teams in this tournament, not a particularly good one. I don't even know if you could actually call them a tag team when one person does 97% of the work. But they are your new women's tag team champions, and I feel no differently now than I did when this tournament first started. These belts should have been burned and forgotten about. There is no need for them to exist. If this is what they planned all along, there is no need for these titles to exist. So that was an interesting way for them to end the show tonight. It was not all bad, though, because we had Sami Zayn and the Usos made a very special appearance on the show tonight. Always the highlight of WWE television. They are the top storyline on any of these programs. It always revolves around Sami Zayn and the Bloodline. That is the best story going anywhere in wrestling right now. I don't care what promotion, I don't care what show. And so I will never complain about seeing them on Raw, even though they're SmackDown stars, or Sami is anyway. So they were a highlight of the night. Kevin Owens getting involved in the segment. It's all playing out exactly the way that I said it would, exactly the way that I said it should. They're doing the slow build. They could take their time with it, honestly. I'm in no rush. It's the best part about these shows. I hope they do take their time with it. I hope they stretch this out as long as possible before we get to the ultimate payoff. Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle were on this show tonight, and they also had some of the best segments on Monday Night Raw this week, including a brawl that happened earlier in the day before the show even began. And then we had dueling promos from them tonight. And it was very interesting when we had those dueling promos, because when they introduced the segment, they had Corey Graves in the back to introduce the segment. And we had Seth Rollins in one box. And in the other box, we had Matt Riddle. Matt. I stress the word Matt. Matt Riddle. Yes. His first name has been returned to him. Let's put it up on the screen. Every time we see something like this, I'm going to throw this up on the screen. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Hunter. It's not even like he's really doing anything to reinvent the wheel. He's just using common sense. For so long, common sense is something that has been lacking from these shows. Stealing people's names away when you don't need to steal their names away. Just doing generally dumb things that shouldn't be done. Triple H undoing just a little bit of the stupid. Although I did hesitate to put this up on the screen after that finish that we had on the show tonight. That's kind of the irony of it. Yeah, I put that picture up on the screen when I actually thought this was the worst Raw under the Triple H regime so far. And it wasn't even that it was a terrible, god-awful show. I've seen some god-awful, terrible Monday Night Raws. But this was easily the weakest and the most boring of all of the Triple H Raws that we have seen over the last 5 or 6 weeks. But I will thank him for that. Kurt Angle was back in his hometown of Pittsburgh tonight. He was the special guest of the night. And of course, not surprisingly, he had an interaction with the Alpha Academy, which I think most of us probably figured was going to be the case. But in any event, hey, James Hollins, look at this. James Hollins just became a sound of legend. Let's holler at Hollins. Welcome to the channel. So again, Zayn and the Bloodline, that stood out as the highlight of the night. Rollins and Riddle, we'll talk more about that because it got heated. Oh, did it get heated? It got heated in a way that you do not see on WWE television. That's why it stood out. It got heated between Rollins and Riddle here 5 days before their big match at Clash at the Castle. They wanted to put a little more gasoline on the fire. That's what they did with those two guys tonight, and it was great. That's the sort of thing I love to see, and I love to see it's a side of Matt Riddle that we really haven't had a chance to see yet on WWE television. He's the goofy stoner, and, you know, he could do his comedy, but it always pays when you're building to a big pay-per-view match to get your ass serious and inject a little bit of realism and inject a little bit of seriousness into things, and that's what we saw tonight. So I was a big fan of what they did with those guys, but on the whole, I thought really a very dull show outside of those couple of things. I was kind of bored for a good part of the night. So I thought this was the weakest of the Triple H shows so far. But this is not a weak show. We never do weak shows around here. This is the Monday Night Raw review. We're kicking the week off the right way here, live on YouTube here for the final Raw before Clash at the Castle. It is Monday, August 29, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Clash at the Castle is coming up on Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern. So 1 p.m. Eastern time start for the show. I will be live back here on YouTube as soon as the show is over on Saturday afternoon, probably 4 o'clock or so would be my guess. It's going to be a very busy weekend. I know there's an NXT show on Sunday as well. I have no idea when I'm going to be able to even watch or review that show. But we are going to go live on Saturday. Of course, we have a podcast on Sunday. That'll be episode 772. And then Sunday night is All Out, which is typically one of the biggest AEW pay-per-views of the entire year. So I cannot wait. We have at least 10 matches on that card. It'll probably be 12 by the time all is said and done. I'm sure it'll be 4.5 hours long, but it's going to be a very busy weekend. So hopefully you will make the sound off your destination for all of it. Hit that subscribe button if you are not subscribed to the channel. That's the first thing that you guys need to do. Super chats are open. I will be reading all of your messages. I want to know what you thought about this show tonight. If you got predictions, questions for Clash at the Castle, All Out, any of that, send them on in because we'll be hanging out a little bit later on. If you don't see the pinned message in the chat, the goal for tonight is 500 likes, at least 500 likes during the live stream if you guys want to be the booker. That is the goal for tonight, so make it happen. One more note here before we get into the full review. I want to mention that on Wednesday, big day on Wednesday. Actually, today, technically today, was the anniversary. Today was the 30-year anniversary. It was 30 years ago today that SummerSlam took place at Wembley Stadium in London, England. But it wasn't until 2 days after that it actually aired here in the States on pay-per-view. So we're going by that date. This Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to be doing our next watch-along. This is one of the perks of channel membership. So James Hollins just became a channel member. He'll be joining us hopefully on Wednesday. But I'm going to do something a little bit different this Wednesday. I'm going to open it up publicly to everybody. So everybody will be able to kind of watch along with us. It's kind of like a free preview of one of the membership perks that you get here on the channel for those who have not participated before. However, the live chat will be members only. That's really where we have the fun. We hang out, the chat and everything. The live chat on Wednesday afternoon will be members only. So now would be a good time to become a channel member. If you are not already a channel member. And I mentioned this the other day. I got a notice from YouTube. Channel memberships apparently any day now, sometime in the next week or two, if you have an iOS device in the YouTube app on iOS, you'll be able to actually buy a channel membership, which I guess up to now you haven't been able to do. So if that's something that you are interested in, if you have an iOS device, then keep an eye out for that. But going to be fun. One of the biggest matches in SummerSlam history, Bret Hart and the British Bulldog. I want to specify, it's a watch-along for that match, not for the entire pay-per-view. So we got that coming up on Wednesday. But right now, let's open this thing up here with the tag team match that opened the show tonight. We open with AJ Styles and Dolph Ziggler taking on Finn Balor and Damian Priest of the Judgment Day. Interesting way to open the show. We got a solid 6 minutes of entrances and video highlights, and then 60 seconds of in-ring action before we went to our first commercial. Priest put Styles down with a backbreaker across the knee. He went for the reckoning. Styles avoided it. He hit an enziguri. Ziggler tagged into the match. Priest backdropped Styles, and Ziggler rolled up Priest. Referee, though, was distracted by something else that was going on. Might have been Rhea. Balor threw a kick that Ziggler blocked, and Dolph hit a super kick. Priest caught Dolph, though, with the South of Heaven, so big, high chokeslam. I mean, he got some height. Pin Ziggler gets the win for the Judgment Day. After the match, all three members are walking to the back when all of a sudden, up on the Titantron, we see a car pulling into the venue, and out of the car is Edge. What perfect timing. And Edge comes walking into the building. Judgment Day sees this. They decide to walk back to the ring. We cut to another commercial. When we come back, the leader of the Judgment Day, Rhea Ripley, has a microphone in her hand, and she invites Edge to come to the ring so she could take what was left of his manhood. Balor thought that, I could have made a comment there, but I'm not going to. Balor thought that it was ridiculous that Rey Mysterio and Edge each got their own A&E documentaries, which they did, actually. Last week it was Edge, and then this past Sunday, it was Rey Mysterio, got the documentary treatment on A&E. I haven't seen his yet. Priest said that they were not in Toronto this week, and therefore there was no Beth Phoenix to rescue Edge. And he said that Beth is the one who wears the pants in that family. So Edge comes out, and he tells Damian Priest that both he and Beth wore the pants in their family. He said, it's 2022. He called him a caveman and said, no wonder you'll be single for the rest of your life. I'm just waiting for all the woke Edge comments now. Where is all the woke Edge comments? I'm surprised I haven't seen any so far. I was shocked I didn't get any on my timeline. Anyway, Edge told them that they looked angry and emo, and he said that they were mad that they couldn't get tickets to My Chemical Romance. Welcome to the Black Parade. Edge said that they obviously haven't learned their lesson because he did not come alone. And all of a sudden, here comes Rey and Dominic Mysterio from behind with kendo sticks in hand, attacking the Judgment Day. Big brawl broke out, and ultimately, this left Dominic alone in the ring with Rhea Ripley. Dominic is right where he wanted to be. It's just him and Rhea in the middle of the ring, and he's got the stick. And Rhea is trying to talk him kind of down off the ledge and trying to convince him to, you know, it's cool. You know, give me the kendo stick, right? She's trying to convince him. And the crowd wanted Dominic to hit her with his stick. The stick that he had in his hand. The kendo stick. I have to be very specific about what stick I'm referring to here. So, in fact, he did not hit her. And eventually she convinced him to hand over the stick. Edge and Rey got back into the ring. Rhea was then threatening them. It was 3-on-1. Until Priest and Balor reached in and they pulled Rhea away, and that's how the segment ended. And they announced a little bit later on that it's going to be a tag team match. And I thought maybe they were going to do a 6-person tag. Maybe it was going to be Edge, Rey, and Beth against Balor, Priest, and Rhea at Clash at the Castle. It's going to be a straight tag team match. Edge and Rey Mysterio. It's like it's 2002 all over again. 20 years ago, these two were the WWE Tag Team Champions. 20 years ago, these two had that classic match with Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit in No Mercy. Edge and Rey are going to be partners again. You know, it really is amazing. At the time, if you would have told me that Edge would be wrestling 20 years later, I could have believed it. You know, he's older, but he's not that old, right? But if you would have told me 20 years ago that Rey Mysterio would still be doing his thing 20 years later, that I wouldn't have believed. Especially if you look like later on, like around 2010, I mean, his knee, he was having knee problems all the time. And he was just talking about it the other day, the stem cells. You know, he went down to, you know, whatever it was, South America or Central America, had millions of stem cells injected into his knees. And it really has. It has given him a new lease on life in his career. And it's amazing. that we are getting these guys as a tag team here in 2022. But they're going to be taking on Balor and Priest at the pay-per-view on Saturday. And Dominic will be in the corner of the babyfaces. Rhea will be in the corner of the heels. So if Dominic's lucky, he might be able to brush up with Rhea Ripley again on Saturday. I'm sure it's something that he's looking forward to. We have Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka. Every time I see Alexa Bliss, I don't want to piss off Bliss fan here, but every time I see Alexa Bliss on TV, it's like she looks like she is completely lost. It is as if they are just sending her out there and she's just going through the motions because she has no direction. There's no creative direction or story for her. She still comes out with the fucking doll because they just want to sell dolls. She's smiling and all bubbly and stuff. And it's just like a blank slate. There's just nothing there. It's almost as if they just don't know what to do with her. So anyway, they were out there for a little tune-up before their Clash at the Castle match with Bayley and her crew. Tonight it was against three local talents, Kayla Sparks, Danny Moe, and Katie Arquette, who, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Katie Arquette might actually be related to David Arquette. I know David Arquette had maybe a, I don't know if it's a niece or someone in his family who I think was a wrestler or trying to be a wrestler. So I think somebody could look it up and confirm, but I'm almost positive that there's a family relation there. She may be related to a former WCW World Heavyweight Champion. So Bianca gave Sparks the KOD before Asuka tapped out Danny Moe to put it away. It's really all you need to know. No Mo. Mo lost the match for her team. That's all you need to know. So Belair, Asuka, and Bliss, they cut a promo on Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky after the match. And there was a clown in the front row who had a sign that he was holding up that said, "We want Naomi, not Bacha Banks." I'll bet he thought he was real clever when he put that sign together. Imagine the effort that went into coming up with that. I bet he thought, he probably thought, "Man, I'm so clever. This is going to be a great sign. Everyone's going to be laughing at my sign." What I thought was the highlight of this, though, was the security guy, who you could see as they were cutting their promo in the ring, in the background behind the announcers, there was a security guard dressed in black who sprinted right past the announcers, over the barricade, into the crowd to go snatch the sign away from this clown. He leaped over the barricade. One of the highlights of the night. This guy, he's obviously in training for the Olympic trials, or he should be, the way that this guy was leaping and running and moving around out there. He snatched that sign away. As far as the match, simple squash to get the baby faces over, just to put them on TV and give them something to do before they head into Cardiff on Saturday. You know, WWE over the years has gone through these little fits and phases where they will have squash matches on Monday Night Raw, and then they'll go away. What did I tell you all those weeks ago when they brought back the Okerlund platform in the back of the arena? And it just happens all the time. People on social media, "Oh, it's great that they brought back the old school interview platform in the back of the arena. I hope they continue to use it." And I always say the same thing. They're going to use it for 2 weeks and you're not going to see it again. And in a couple of years, maybe they'll dust it off again and they'll bring it back. And that's exactly what's happened. They used it for 2-3 weeks max, and we haven't seen it since. So I mention that because they do the same thing here with these jobber matches, where they'll have these enhancement matches to get somebody over and give them somebody to beat. You know, and it's very much like what you would see on Superstars back in the day. Now, I don't have an issue with them putting a match out there like this even once every week. I wouldn't make, you know, a habit out of doing it multiple times in a show. You have 3 hours of television to kill. So especially if you call up somebody new, it's always smart to put them in the ring with somebody they can beat and they can showcase their moves. That's why I have no issue with doing, you know, jobber matches. We just don't see them on Monday Night Raw very often. So when we do, it feels a little weird. But they go through these start and stop phases. So they'll do this maybe a few more times and then they probably won't do it again for a year. It's just weird how they kind of go back and forth on that. But they got 3 hours of TV time to kill. It's okay to have a match like this over the course of that 3-hour show to try to help get somebody over. Backstage, Tommaso Ciampa was giving The Miz a pep talk when Adam Pearce walked into the room. Pearce said that Miz has the support of the company and said that they could give him counseling or he could talk to somebody if he thinks that he needs it. This is after he was abducted by Dexter Lumis last week. He was abducted and we have no idea where he went. We have no idea where he was being held captive. We didn't even know what his status was until they announced yesterday, I think it was, that he was going to be on Raw wrestling Bobby Lashley. So Adam Pearce was trying to provide some mental health assistance to The Miz after his very traumatic experience, which he made it very clear he did not want to talk about. He said, I don't want to talk about it. And Pearce said, well, you know, Dexter Lumis was released from jail. He was released because you didn't help out by telling us what happened. You didn't press charges. You never told anybody anything. It's actually working against your own best interest by not talking about it. But Miz didn't want to talk about it. Said he had nothing to say. And Pierce said, I was just trying to help. And Miz said, well, if you're just trying to help, then why did you put me in a match with Bobby Lashley? Which, honestly, makes a lot of sense. That's a good question. So I was thinking about, like, what could this man have done? What could Dexter Lumis have possibly done? Yeah, he's got a girlfriend, right? He's not going to do any funny business with The Miz. He's got Indy Hartwell. So what could this man have possibly wanted The Miz for? And what could it be that The Miz now is completely traumatized by this and doesn't even want to talk about it? And honestly, I think I figured out what it was because the timeline kind of works out, you know, with it being this past week that he was missing. I think I realized why The Miz is traumatized after this whole experience. See, what I think happened, Dexter Lumis was fired from WWE many months ago. Many, many, many months ago. Might have even been late last year when he got cut. And one of the places that he landed recently was the NWA. He actually popped up on NWA Power. So he's got that tie to the NWA. What I think happened is that he abducted The Miz and he forced The Miz to watch Tyrus in that NWA 74 main event on their pay-per-view this past weekend. And now The Miz is completely traumatized. That's what I think happened. And it makes sense. I'd be traumatized too. That's why I didn't watch. Kurt Angle was out next. Guest of honor here this week in his hometown of Pittsburgh, PA. The Olympic gold medalist. He had the gold medal around his neck too. And he comes out and he's out there looking like 2003 Kurt Angle, albeit aged by 20 years. But he's out there. He's got the same jacket. Remember the Team Angle days where it was Haas and Benjamin and Kurt? He used to wear that jacket. He had like the red pants with the stars on the side of them. No shirt. He was dressed the exact same way. He looked like he slimmed down. Part of it is, you know, half his body is atrophied. But he looked good. I mean, physically, he looked better than I expected him to look. And there were people I saw online that were shitting on him and everything. And look. Maybe they don't realize the fact that Kurt Angle had a double knee replacement in May of this year. Now, when you have a knee replacement, I've had relatives that have had it done before, they don't advise that you have more than one done at a given time because even just one replacement, it's very painful. It takes a while to recover. Usually they tell you have one done. If you need the other one done, you can do it after the fact. Kurt Angle, of course, he marches to a completely different, you know, tune. He said, fuck that, let's just do it all at once. So this guy had a double knee replacement 3 months ago. I don't know. He looked like he was moving pretty good out there for a guy who had a double knee replacement among all of his other physical issues 3 months ago. So I thought Kurt looked good out there. And he comes out, he got a nice reaction. Of course, he got the you suck chants from the crowd. And he said he was glad to be home in Pittsburgh. Chad Gable and Otis came out to interrupt. They went to a commercial. They came back and Gable called Kurt a personal hero of his. Chad Gable should have been his illegitimate son. If they were going to do that stupid storyline, it should have been Gable and not Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan could have gotten over on his own without the dumb angle. What's sad about the Jason Jordan thing is he was getting over. He was actually pretty entertaining with the tag team stuff he was doing with Seth Rollins when he got hurt. Jordan would have been a big star on the roster right now if he didn't have his neck problems, but it's a shame. But Gable said Kurt's a personal hero of his. He's very happy to have him in the ring tonight. And he said that Angle's story motivated him when he went to the Olympics. And Angle reminded him that he won his gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Never forget that Kurt Angle won an Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck. I remember when he would mock Triple H for his torn quad in 2001. He goes, I tear my quad every morning when I wake up. I still remember. I still remember all the Kurt comedy from back then. So Gable said, you know, the Alpha Academy is looking for a new member. He mentioned this last week. And we were going to look here in Pittsburgh, but he said there's not a shred of talent in Pittsburgh. And the crowd booed. Gable said, there's an Olympic hero in the ring, not to mention Kurt Angle. So show some respect. And Kurt, you could tell, Kurt, he couldn't help himself but laugh. So Gable offered Angle a membership into the Alpha Academy for one night only. They brought a special red jacket just for Kurt Angle. And Otis went to present him with the jacket. And Kurt rejected their offer and he tossed the jacket away. And Gable couldn't believe it. Kurt said, it's true, it's damn true. And Gable shooshed him. So then what we ended up with here was a shoosh-off between Kurt Angle and Chad Gable. So this was basically a takeoff on the woo-off. Remember the woo-off on Raw many years ago? Kurt Angle and Ric Flair had a woo-off. That's what this was. Only this was not nearly as good. This was not nearly as good as that was. Gable was pissed. He told Otis to go after Kurt. Street Profits ran down to the ring to make the save. Montez Ford challenged them to a match. Gable accepted, but under one condition. His condition was that when the Alpha Academy wins this match, Kurt Angle would have to join the Alpha Academy so that Chad could coach him to the next level. And Angle and the Street Profits accepted, and so we ended up with a tag team match. Where are we at? 360? Bearwolf is giving me the updates in the chat. We're up to 360. Hit that like button if you are rolling on into the stream. 500 is the goal tonight. At least 500 for Be the Booker. I'm going to keep reminding you guys. So Angle took a seat at ringside. He did not do commentary, but he was sitting at ringside to watch the match. People were very quiet for this. People were basically sitting on their hands for most of this match. And there was a sequence at one point with Angelo Dawkins and Chad Gable. They were going back and forth, and it was a really good back and forth sequence. And again, no reaction. But that ended with Dawkins doing his flip dive out over the top rope onto both members of the Alpha Academy. Gable used Kurt's own ankle lock right in front of Kurt. He used the ankle lock on Montez Ford, and Montez was struggling. He was trying not to tap out. He's trying to get to the ropes. And eventually he reversed. He got Gable trapped in the ankle lock himself. And I thought for sure this was it. I thought Gable was going to tap out right in front of Kurt Angle, especially when Montez laid down. He got the leg vine. I thought that was it. Otis comes in. He splashes Ford to break up the hold. So at that point, Otis looks over at Kurt. I mean, he's got this look on his face like he's looking at this guy going like, lunch. And he goes out of the ring to go over to confront Kurt. He's trying to tell him, you're going to join the Alpha Academy. So as he's threatening Kurt Angle, here comes Angelo Dawkins. He comes running like a bat out of hell out of nowhere. And he shoulder checks. He shoulder tackles Otis. Now, Otis is a big man. He's a big man. I was going to say big guy. And I, in mid-sentence, I switched to man. He's a big guy man. He sent this fucking guy hurling over the announce desk. Otis went flying. He launched him. Cleared the desk. Landed on the floor. So now Otis is out of the picture. In the ring, Gable went for his rolling German. Ford, though, landed on his feet. Dawkins shoulder blocked Gable into Montez Ford. So picture this in your mind. What he did to Otis on the floor, he did the same thing to Chad Gable in the ring, only this time, when he body checked him and Gable went flying through the air, Montez caught him and on the follow-through hit a German suplex. That was awesome. That was a great spot. And then Ford went up top, hit the top rope frog splash for the win. After the match, Street Profits, they presented Kurt outside on the floor with their red Solo cup. They're all going to drink. They all have red Solo cups, right? So they go to drink, and whatever's in the drink, Kurt didn't like it. He spits it out. He even got some on the camera. He said, hold on a second. I got something for you guys. They had a cooler at ringside right behind where the announcers were sitting. And he goes in the cooler and he pulls out three small bottles of milk. And he gives one to Montez. He gives one to Angelo Dawkins. He's got one for himself. And they all share milk. Not their own milk. But they all drink milk. Kurt's taking a milk bath. He gets more milk bottles. He's chucking them into the crowd. So, look, I mean, the angle stuff was mindless fun. You know, he wasn't going to do anything physical. The crowd did not react to 90% of this. They did come alive for the finish, though. So down the stretch, in that last, like, minute or two of the match, they did come alive. Really, when Dawkins body-checked Otis over the announce desk, that really is where the crowd started to come alive. And at least they were up for the finish, but... yeah, this probably went, I don't know, maybe 12 minutes, somewhere in that range. And for 9 or 10 of those minutes, the crowd just didn't give a shit. They were totally silent. Kurt, though, looked like he was having a blast out there when the match was over. So when people talk about Kurt Angle and how, oh my God, he doesn't look good at all. And he look at that look on his face or that look in his eye. Kurt Angle has had that look in his eye for the last 15 fucking years. That's where the perk Angle jokes come from. Only now he's not all perked up. But he's had that glassy-eyed look in his face as far back as I can remember since he left WWE. Now, when I met him in person, when he left WWE, the first time I met him was in 2008. You know, I got in the ring with him at an Impact Live event here in New York when the show was over, and he had that same look in his eyes, like he wasn't all there. But yet the guy would go out there, and he was a machine. He could still function. He knows what he's doing. He's just got that far out look in his eyes. It's just, you know, the guy has seen some shit in his life. He's been through a lot of crap. He seems to be doing very well, but that's just how he looks. All things considered, especially with the knee replacement stuff, I thought he looked pretty good. And Kurt, on his podcast this past week, and I don't know how I feel about this, but I can totally understand him wanting to come back and have at least one more match because he wasn't satisfied with the last match that he had. This is a company that gave him Baron Corbin for his retirement match. Kurt Angle's retirement match in WWE will always go down in the books at WrestleMania against Baron Corbin. The same Baron Corbin who's now Happy Corbin, who's been losing every single one of his matches on TV every week. This is what they wasted Kurt Angle's retirement match on. And I remember Vince McMahon telling Kurt Angle, who wanted John Cena, and Vince is like, well, if you stick around for one more year, you can get John Cena next year. But Kurt knew. He's like, no, I'm done. I can't wait another year. He was like, well, then you're going to get Baron Corbin. You had an angle with him, you're going to have a match with him. Really? You couldn't call an audible and have John Cena wrestle Kurt Angle that year? Anyway. So then we got to the Matt Riddle and the Seth Rollins stuff. Earlier today, and I saw this footage actually on social media before the show even started tonight. They had Riddle in the parking lot. It looked like he was just standing around on his phone. It was like a faraway shot. And he's on his phone, and Rollins is getting out of his rental car. And they see each other. And they have a confrontation in the parking lot. And they shot footage of this like something off a fan's smartphone. It was not meant to, it was not shot in the traditional way that you would see a parking lot segment in WWE. So that was kind of cool. I said, okay, that's cool. They should do more of that type of stuff. Little did I know that there would be an even better segment with these two coming up during the actual show. But what I liked about what they did with these guys is just it felt more organic. It all comes down to realism. Wrestling, a lot of aspects of wrestling are not real. Wrestling is not real. Wrestling is a show, right? The emotions can be real. The injuries are real. That's why we don't use the word fake. wrestlers get very upset when you use the word fake. It implies that everything about wrestling and everything about what they do is fake and phony, and that's not the case. But wrestling is a show. However, I believe, even though it is a show, that you need to make it as realistic as possible. So that when you're watching the show and you have two guys who hate each other and they have an issue, let's say, and they're going into a big pay-per-view match, it's no different than a big boxing fight or a big MMA fight. And in those final days before the pay-per-view, that's really the time for them to go out there and sell people on that show. The WWE doesn't have to worry about selling you on pay-per-views anymore because all their pay-per-views are basically free. You have a Peacock subscription? Great. You can watch the pay-per-view. You don't have to spend $50 like I'm going to do for All Out this weekend. Thankfully, there's only four of them a year that AEW does. If I had to shell out $50 or $60 12 times a year, I wouldn't like that so much. But it's still the same mentality. You want to sell people that this match that they're getting ready to see, these two guys don't like each other. Make it feel like they really don't like each other. That's what tonight was all about. This took this from just another wrestling match on the card on Saturday to a fucking fight. You want to see these two guys get a hold of each other. You want to see Matt Riddle grab this guy by the neck and go out there and kill him. Kill him in Cardiff. That's how you were supposed to feel when these segments were over tonight. And I thought it was very effective. It's something that I don't think they could do every single month, but I do hope and wish, and I think we will under Triple H, see more of this type of thing. Attempt. Make the attempt to inject that little bit of realism into these segments, into these backstage fights, into these promos. And we're already seeing it. We're already seeing a loosening of the handcuffs that were there before. Hearing reports about people who are being allowed more freedom to go out there on television and ad-lib and improvise a little bit in ways that they weren't allowed to before. And not everybody is going to be good at doing that. There might be some pretty shitty promos because these people have been trained for so long to just read words off a piece of paper. It's going to take time. There's a learning curve involved. But I think long-term, it's going to be a big, big benefit to the product. You know, under Triple H, one of the biggest changes from Triple H to Vince McMahon is this sort of thing here. Because Vince McMahon was in love with stoner, goofy Matt Riddle. That's why he got so much television time. McMahon thought he was funny. Pal, yeah. Right? I could just hear him cackling in the background. Probably sitting at the gorilla position every week with the headset on. You know, let's put fucking kangaroos coming out of his fucking slippers when he comes into the ring. That's the version of Matt Riddle that Vince McMahon liked. Triple H, however, is aware of what Riddle brings to the table because he's the one who signed him to NXT all those years ago. He knows there's a goofy, entertaining side to him, but there's also a serious side. And it's a side that we haven't seen up until now. So we went from that parking lot thing that they shot earlier in the day to this segment here. Corey Graves went to the back. I'm not even sure why he had to go to the back. He wasn't even in the same room with these guys. He could have did the same exact job that he did by just staying where he was at ringside. He was the moderator for this. They had a split screen promo. Both guys were in separate rooms in different parts of the building. So Riddle was in one room on one side of the screen. Rollins was on the other. And this is, of course, where I first noticed. Well, when they introduced the segment, they introduced him as Matt Riddle. And the on-screen graphic says Matt Riddle. WWE's Twitter account says Matt Riddle when they were writing about this thing. This was no accident. So he got his first name back. The world is healing itself. Hopefully more will follow. Austin Theory is still just theory. Rome wasn't built in a day. I think over time we're going to see more people get their names back. Rollins said that Riddle has been a thorn in his side ever since Money in the Bank. Said that it's his time, not Riddle's time, and he said Riddle is not on his level. Riddle said that Rollins is afraid that he's going to embarrass him just like Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes did. Rollins said that nobody likes Riddle or the way he talks. Said that he would put Riddle on the shelf just like he did to Cody Rhodes. And he said that he was going to move on. Once he was done with Riddle, he was going to move on to the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. And there was nothing Riddle could do about it. So Graves asked what the fans could expect from their match on Saturday. Rollins said that he would steal the show and he would stomp Riddle's head into the mat one more time and show who the man really is. Riddle said that there's only one man in Rollins' marriage, and that is his wife, Becky Lynch. And Rollins had a look on his face like he was caught off guard by that comment, and it really kind of cut him to the core, right? He was speechless after that. And that was the end of the segment, or so we thought. So then what happens is we go to a break. After the break, they said we have exclusive footage of Riddle and Rollins that did not air on TV that happened when the segment was over. The mics were still hot. They were still talking to each other. And so they showed us footage of what we missed during the break. And this is where it got good. So they go back to the split screen view. Rollins says to Riddle, and the other thing about this is, this was not Seth Rollins cackling and laughing and doing the Seth Rollins gimmick. It wasn't even just what they said that made this so great and made this feel more raw and realistic. It was the way that they said it. It was the voices they used. It was their demeanor. They really did treat this as if, okay, the cameras are off. Now we can be real. And Rollins said to him, he goes, "You want to talk about my family? Let's talk about your family." He said, "Oh, wait, you ain't got one because your wife divorced your ass and took your kids and they don't want to see your bitch ass anymore." Wow. They went there. I didn't think they would go there, but they went there. And that is true, by the way, for those who don't know. I know it was in the news on all the websites a couple of months ago that Matt Riddle's wife divorced. I think she divorced him, took the kids. I'm not even sure if he's seeing his kids at all anymore. I think she just took the kids and moved away, and I don't know what the status of their relationship is. That's none of my business, but that is a true story. That is a true story. So Riddle hears this, and he goes, "What did you just say?" He goes, "Yeah, you heard me, bitch." He goes, "Where are you?" Now Riddle is fuming. He goes, "Where are you?" And Rollins goes, "I'm here. I'm right here. Come find me." He goes, "Dude, I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to fuck you up, bro." Of course, they censored it. Not only did they censor the audio of it, they video distorted his mouth so you couldn't see him saying the word. But it was very clear what he said. He said, "Where the fuck are you? Where are you?" Rollins is just egging him on, going, "Come find me, bitch. Come find me." And again, Riddle probably dropped a couple more F-bombs, and then he just sat there trying to calm himself down. He was fuming, and then finally he just got up out of his chair, ripped the microphone off, stormed away. This was great. This was the final sell before their match on Saturday. You couldn't have done a better job, I think, of getting people interested in seeing these two go at it. There really was nothing else they could have done, right? They dragged this out. This was going to be the SummerSlam match. For whatever reason, they said, "You know what? We're not going to do it now. We're going to save it for Clash at the Castle." That might have been a Triple H call. Because otherwise, we would have had this match 4 weeks ago. But they held off on it. There was nothing else that they could have done. There was no contract signing. There was no face-off in the ring. There was no tag team match where they're on opposing sides. There was nothing they could have done with these two better than what they did tonight to really get me interested in their match. This was great. And it was a very welcome change of pace on this show. And it was the most serious that we have ever seen Matt Riddle on a WWE show. So I thought this was fucking fantastic. We had a Miz segment in the back. He was walking as he was basically walking the plank, right? He was walking to his doom for his match with Bobby Lashley. And he's walking through the back with Tommaso Ciampa. And they pass right by Dexter Lumis. I don't know how many people even caught it. It was so quick. It was a security guard. It was Dexter Lumis. They walk right by him. Miz stops in his tracks, and he goes back. And when he goes back, there's a security guard there, but it is no longer Dexter Lumis. It's just some random security guard. So Miz is looking at this. He's looking around like he thinks he's losing his mind. Thunder Knight, thank you for the super chat. That was one of the new Solomon. Look at this guy. What am I even doing in that super chat? I look like Elaine from Seinfeld trying to dance. But yes, that is one of our newer super chats. I think we're 10 likes away from 500, guys. 10 likes away. Who are going to be the next 10 to give this stream a thumbs up? So the point is, Miz thinks that he is just losing his mind. He thinks he's going crazy. So now we have Bobby Lashley against The Miz. The story was that The Miz clearly is traumatized. He is clearly traumatized by whatever happened to him. Again, watching Tyrus in the NWA main event the other night against Trevor Murdoch, I'm sure that probably was what happened. And at one point, he was so jittery and on edge during this match, he nearly decked Ciampa by accident. That's how on edge this guy was. Lashley went to spear Miz late in the match. Ciampa, though, pulled Miz to ringside. And Ciampa passed his laminated, he has that laminated card that he wears around his neck. That shows them, yeah, they're like bosom buddies, these two. So he went to pass the laminated card, I guess as a weapon, to The Miz, who wanted to use it as a weapon, but the referee caught him, and he stopped him. Ciampa hit Lashley while the referee was distracted, and Miz put Lashley down with a DDT. Thought he had the match won. He went for the pin, got a near fall out of it. Jimmy Smith, by the way, before Miz went for the pin, was on commentary talking about how this could be it. We could have a new United States champion. Even though I'm sitting here saying, wait a minute, isn't this a non-title match? So now it's a championship match? I said, that's news to me. Well, apparently it was news to the other announcers as well. Because 5 seconds later, Byron Saxton said, the title's not on the line of this match. He just kind of stuck it in there. Jimmy Smith no-sold it and just kept doing commentary. But that's at least the second time in the last few months that I've heard him make that mistake where he was talking about a match that was already in progress as if it were a championship match. And one of the other announcers had to correct him and say, no, the title's not on the line. You know, one time is a mistake, but if it becomes a pattern, then that's not good. So Miz only got an ear fall out of that DDT. He was setting up for the skull-crushing finale, but he pointed to the crowd. He looked up into the crowd like he saw a ghost. And the camera showed that up in the mezzanine section somewhere, they put a spotlight on him. Up in the crowd is Dexter Lumis. And he's got the glove, and he's going like this, like he's pulling the glove down on his hand. I guess Ciampa was looking somewhere else, because evidently he didn't see any of this. He was trying to tell Ciampa about it, look, and when Ciampa looked, there was no Dexter Lumis. And with Miz distracted, Bobby Lashley snuck up from behind. He locked him in the Hurt Lock, and the submission followed. So Lashley wins this non-title match. Somebody should let Jimmy Smith know. Edge presented Kurt Angle in the back with some photos. This was another fun little trip down memory lane here. Of course, many, many, many years ago. There was a backstage segment where Edge... So around the time he was feuding with Kurt, so this probably would have been, I guess it would have been right before Kurt had his head shaved, so probably the spring of 2002. He's in the back with him. Remember, he had the big placards. He's these big blown-up photos that he's showing Kurt, and Kurt's holding him up and like, oh, this is great. Of course, he didn't know that there was writing on the back, you know, with an arrow pointing at him saying, I suck, and all this other stuff. So this was a play off that segment, and Kurt at first was like, no, you're not going to do this to me again. And he looks at the back of the photo, and it's blank. He goes, oh, okay, cool. So of course, every other photo that Edge handed to him, which had some other moment from their rivalry or their feud from over the years, did have a message written on the back. And it was basically Edge just, you know, talking about how, yeah, he beat him once for the U.S. title, and he shaved his head bald, and Kurt has no idea that these messages are on the back of these cards. Edge, you know, mentioned how he's responsible for the You Suck chant, which he is. That's how the You Suck chant got started. The last one read, You Still Suck, with an arrow pointing up. Angle is none the wiser. So Edge leaves the room, and Angle wants to go show the photos to Ray and Dom, who were sitting on a bench in the background talking to each other in the locker room. And Kurt goes over and says, hey, guys, look at this. And then Kurt realizes he sees the writing on the back of one of the photos. And he just says, Cripes all Friday. He got me again. And off goes Kurt Angle. But we stay with Rey and Dominic, who are having a conversation. Dominic is very upset that Rey has chosen Edge to be his tag team partner at Clash at the Castle. He goes, I thought it was about family. Mi familia. And Rey said, look, absolutely, Edge is like family. And we have experience as a team, and it's, you know, you're going to be with us in our corner and everything. And Dominic said he understood and he would have their backs. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he will. The Dominic heel turn is coming. The Dominic heel turn is coming. I wonder when he officially joins the Judgment Day and he becomes subservient to Rhea, if he will change his name from Dom to Dominatrix. What do you think? Think he'll get that name change? I'm not sure. Triple H doesn't seem to be as keen on name changes as his father-in-law. So maybe he'll get to keep his name. We had Sami Zayn and the Usos out for a promo. So nice, we had to get it twice, right? Fridays is just not enough. My favorite thing, my favorite story in all of wrestling has to extend out to Mondays. I got no problem with that. Sami was dancing to the Usos theme on their way to the ring. And they aired footage of that violent attack on Drew McIntyre. The Bloodline beat the fucking piss out of Drew McIntyre on SmackDown on Friday night. Bloody welts all over his back. So they aired highlights of that. Usos took turns touting Roman Reigns' success and hyped up his 2-year championship celebration, which is coming up on Friday. They taped the show already last week. But that's the big 2-year celebration is coming up on SmackDown on Friday night. Sami interrupted Jay and said that Roman had personally appointed him, Sami Zayn, to be the master of ceremonies for the night on Friday. Jay was pissed that Sami interrupted him and he stared him down. And Sami quickly shifted his focus to putting over the Usos as the greatest tag team of all time. You got to kill him with kindness. I learned that lesson a long time ago. Sometimes you just have to kill him with kindness. Kevin Owens made his entrance. I had a big smile on my face. Came out with a microphone in hand and he said the Bloodline doesn't run Raw because it's still the Kevin Owens show. And he said that he was happy that they were there because he wanted them to remind their boss that he still owes him one. Jey Uso asked Sami Zayn if Owens was his boy. Is this your boy? And Owens asked the same question. Am I your boy? Sami said, well, yeah, technically, yes, he is. Jey told Sami to get Owens before he does. And Zayn told Owens that Roman doesn't owe him or anyone anything ever. And Owen said that he didn't think Sami could look stupider than he already did with that insane hair that he grew out. But he said that it's sad that Sami has forgotten that he is actually one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time. And he got a nice reaction for that. Some people might hear that and think, oh my God, what a stupid thing for him to say. Those people also would not remember how great of a babyface Sami Zayn was. Forget El Generico and all that, and all, you know, his body of work even before he came to WWE. Just look at his body of work and the reactions that he would get and the relationship he had with the audience when he was a babyface in NXT. So, obviously, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn go back a long way. They're like, Owens said it. We're not just best friends, we're like brothers. He thinks the world of this man. And he thinks it's pathetic that he doesn't see that the Bloodline is using him as their own personal lapdog, and he's too ignorant, willfully ignorant, to see what's going on here. It's exactly what I've been saying, right? This is the story to tell. Kevin Owens has to try to talk some sense into this man. He's been brainwashed by these people. And it's up to KO to try to snap his friend out of it and convince him that, look, these guys don't give a shit about you. He said as much here in this promo. He flat out said to Sami, These people, they don't give a crap about you. He goes, now look at you. You're a clown for the Bloodline. Zayn looked like Owens' words had gotten to him, but then he defended his position. Sami said that Jimmy likes him, right? Jimmy Uso likes me. And then he did that special handshake that they have. And then he said, we got Jey Uso. And he goes, well, we're working on that. He said, the most important thing is that Roman Reigns he has the acceptance of the tribal chief. So Jay told Owens to leave or else they would drop him like they did Drew McIntyre. And Owens instead decided to walk to the ring. Owens said that he didn't forget that Jey Uso and Paul Heyman are the reasons why he didn't beat Roman to become Universal Champion 18 months ago. And I like that callback. Owens and Reigns had at least three matches together that I can remember. And in pretty much every single one of those matches, it was interference from Jey Uso or Paul Heyman, usually Jey Uso, that completely fucked over Kevin Owens. I'm glad that he called back to that and said, yeah, I haven't forgotten about that. I haven't forgotten about what a thorn in my side that you were, costing me the championship like that. He says, Owens said that they could celebrate 2 years of Jey Uso having his head up Roman's ass. And Zayn tried to play peacemaker. Owens said, look, I think this is the part where you and I drop the mic and we have a referee come out. And sure enough, out came a referee and we had an official singles match between Kevin Owens and Jey Uso. It's all moving along exactly the way that I said, right down to Owens, the promo, the speech that he had tonight. It's just perfect. And I would like to see them get as much mileage out of this as possible because I am entertained by all of these segments. None of them are as good as seeing Reigns and Sammy together on screen. But really, all of this stuff, I think, is just gold. It's great storytelling. It's great long-term storytelling. This has been going on for a while now. This is not like a new thing they started a month ago when Triple H took over. I mean, this has been, and look, credit to Vince McMahon because he, you know, this was a story that he conceived of, but it was just kind of dragging along. And when Triple H took over is when all of a sudden we got to see Sammy and Roman in the same segment together. I don't know if that would have happened so quickly. If Vince McMahon was still doing things, who knows? Sammy might still be some, you know, just like a background part of the story. Feels like Triple H is kind of speeding things up a little bit, but it really has been the best thing on WWE television. But I'd like to see them squeeze as much out of the sponge as they can before they pull the trigger on this. Because I almost don't want it to end. You know, there's got to be a payoff at the end of this, but I almost just do not want this to end. But it's going to be such a great moment. When we get to that point, and it shouldn't be this Friday, but when we get to that point that the bloodline, I can't even say turns on Sami Zayn because we know they don't give a shit about him. But when they turn on Sami Zayn and they beat the crap out of him, and then Kevin Owens comes out to make the save for his best friend, that is going to be a fantastic moment. And even better will be when we get the match. Because it will be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn at some point. It will not be this Saturday, but at some point soon, we're going to get that tag team title match. There is no other team on the roster that should take the tag team championships from Jimmy and Jay except Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. If this story ends in any other way, then they're doing it wrong. That is the wrong end of the story. I have faith that Triple H will see this story out to its logical conclusion and we will have that great moment. And I just hope that they have the right, you know, city and the right building for it too. This crowd in Pittsburgh tonight, this would not have been the place to have a big moment like that. That would have been a wasted moment in front of a crowd like this. But you want to be in a place like they were in Montreal 2 weeks ago. You want to be in a Chicago or a New York or, you know, some place that is going to go nuts for this. So you can get that great, just nuclear reaction when those guys finally take those tag team championships away from the Usos. Usos have not had their belts as long as Roman has had his, but they've had them for a long time. It's been three, whatever it's been, I think closing in soon on 400 days. That is the only conclusion that I want to see as far as closure with this stuff with Sammy and the Usos. It's Sammy that takes the belt from Jimmy and Jay. And he does it with Kevin Owens. So we're seeing it play out exactly the way that I was hoping it would play out. I'm going to rub my lucky rabbit's foot. I'm going to wish that these men stay healthy in perfect health so that no one gets hurt before they can see this through to the end. I always worry about that. You got this great story. You know this great payoff is going to be coming. And then somebody gets hurt, right? So I'm gonna be rubbing my lucky rabbit's foot. I don't have a lucky rabbit's foot, but I will get one. I will find a rabbit, I will rip the foot off, and I will rub it. If that's what it takes to make sure that these four men stay healthy long enough that we can get to the end of this story. This is a message from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I've read that doing things like learning a new language or taking power naps in the middle of the day can do wonders for your brain. I should definitely try to take naps more often, especially as late as some of these live streams go on YouTube. I always feel like I never have enough time. But here's the thing, if you're like me, you need to make time for these things, because a healthy brain is something that we all need to have. It's one of the reasons why I recommend using BetterHelp Online Therapy. Everybody is dealing with something. Question is, how is it affecting your life and your everyday experiences? If it's affecting your everyday life, you should consider talking to a therapist. Someone with experience in dealing with whatever you're going through, that's what makes BetterHelp such a valuable resource. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat-only sessions with your very own therapist. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. When I tried it, they matched me with somebody in less than 24. Right now, Sound Off listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's betterhelp.com/solomonster. So we had Kevin Owens one-on-one with Jimmy Uso. I'm sorry, Jey Uso, not Jimmy. Jey Uso and Kevin Owens with Jimmy and Sami Zayn at ringside. They stayed ringside for this. Owens set up for a powerbomb on the bottom half of the ring steps. He was distracted, though, by Jimmy. And Jey ended up hitting a Samoan drop on the ring steps heading into a commercial break. Jey had Owens on the ropes at one point. Owens fought back, hit a Fisherman Buster style suplex off the ropes. Owens hit a Swanton for a near fall. Jey avoided a pop-up powerbomb, and he suplexed Owens. Jey followed that up with a top rope Uso splash for a near fall. Short time later, Owens hit a top rope frog splash on Jey for two. So, back at ringside, Owens was setting up for a powerbomb on the steps. Zayn, though, got in his way. Sammy was standing in his way, and Owens told Zayn, look, hit me. Hit me. Go ahead. Take a shot at me. And Sammy didn't want to do it. He couldn't bring himself to do it. Jey, though, while this was all going on, he used the distraction to hit a suicide dive to Owens through the ropes. So he hits Owens with the suicide dive, and he orders Sami Zayn to hit Owens with a chair. So the way they set this up is Jey had the referee distracted, and Owens is in the ropes, and Jimmy is telling him, get the chair, get the chair. Hit him with the chair. And Sammy is teasing it, you know, he's teasing that he's going to hit him with the chair. He can't do it. He can't do it. He cannot bring himself to do it. And both Usos now are looking at him like, what's going on here? I thought you wanted to be one of us. You didn't hit him with the chair. What's going on? And Sammy is, I don't know. Meanwhile, Jey ends up turning into a stunner from Kevin Owens, and he gets pinned 1-2-3. He cost the Usos the match. Now, Sammy, when the match was over, was trying to explain his way out of it. You know, I thought the referee would catch me. The referee was distracted. The referee wouldn't have seen a thing. Maybe he would have heard it, but he wouldn't have seen a thing. He's just trying to come up with whatever excuse because he couldn't bring himself to hit his best friend with the chair. I love it. Simple storytelling. I'm sure Roman Reigns is not going to be very happy about this. He will not be pleased. This was a very good match with great storytelling. And that's what I think, that's what's so great about this. And you know that when we get to that Owens and Zayn and Usos, like, it's going to be a fucking great match. So you get the best of both worlds here. If you love great matches, you're going to get a great match. If you love great storytelling, how could you not like this? If you love storytelling in wrestling, I don't see how you can't appreciate this story that they're telling right now. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Miz was shown rushing through the parking lot. He was trying to get the hell out of there. So he is rushing through the parking lot, trying to head to his SUV, and Ciampa's like, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. I'll be fine. Just, it's cool. And Miz gets into the SUV. Of course, Kevin Patrick comes over, this fucking guy again. He goes, leave me alone. I got nothing to say to you. He closes the door. He goes to drive off, but we see in the back of the SUV is a light shining, and it's Dexter Lumis. Of course, Miz doesn't know this, and Miz drives off. So we'll see where the... I have no idea where the story is ultimately going to go, other than we'll get Dexter Lumis against the Miz. But yes, Miz is... poor guy's traumatized. Footage from earlier in the day showed Johnny Gargano being interviewed in the empty arena. He was sitting in the stands, right? This is before they opened the doors earlier. And he's sitting in the empty arena, and he's talking about last Monday, his big return, and how much it meant to him to come back and hear those chants of Johnny wrestling, and it just made him, it gave him goosebumps. And he said, you know, Johnny Wrestling is not just a nickname because wrestling is his life, and he was away from it for 9 months. So he's talking about how excited he was to see Theory because they were like family at one point. And he said Theory didn't have to start at the bottom, though, because of who he knows. So now Theory is walking into the picture. He's coming down the steps, coming up. He's got the Money in the Bank briefcase, and Johnny's a little defensive at first. He goes, hey, don't worry, I'm not going to do anything to you. And Theory took a seat behind him, and he pointed out that Gargano never called him when he won the United States Championship, because Gargano actually pointed out that when his son was born earlier this year, he didn't hear from Theory. So Theory's reaction to that was, oh yeah, well, I didn't hear from you when I won the U.S. title. As if the two were on the same level. He said Gargano was jealous because he was watching at home when he made it to WrestleMania. While Gargano was home changing diapers, Theory was wrestling at WrestleMania. Theory said that it's lonely at the top, and he told Gargano that he is swimming with sharks now. It's only a matter of time before he gets that first name back. He's still Theory. Right now, he's just a Theory. Before long, I expect him to be Austin Theory again. The main event was the finals of the Women's Tag Team Championship Tournament. Io Sky, Dakota Kai, taking on Raquel Gonzalez, or Raquel, what are they calling her now? Rodriguez? I still call her Raquel Gonzalez. Another fucking unnecessary name change. Another unnecessary name change. See, Io Sky is a name change that I don't mind. They used to call her the Genius of the Sky, so at least they incorporated that nickname into her new name now. Like, that's a name change that's like, all right, what's the big deal? And even Raquel going from Gonzalez to Rodriguez, like, is it a big deal? No. It's just, it's so dumb. So unnecessarily dumb. And she even went to, I don't know if it was Vince or whoever it was, because I guess for family reasons, she wanted to keep that name and she was vetoed. So they changed her name, but I go back and forth between Rodriguez and Gonzalez, and we'll call her Raquel. Raquel and Aaliyah. See, Aaliyah doesn't have this problem, because Aaliyah never had a last name. She has one name, so it should be Raquel and Aaliyah. Aaliyah went to the floor, she was running to the ring steps, and Raquel tried to help. Dakota Kai, though, kicked her from the apron, and then Io Sky hit the double knees to Aaliyah up against the barricade. Corey Graves said that a countout would lead to new tag team champions, but Raquel was the legal woman. She got back into the ring to beat the count. So Aaliyah was down, and Rodriguez was all by herself trying to fight these two women off, and it's the same story as their last match in the tournament, where Aaliyah got taken out, I think, by Natty with a Michinoku driver on the floor, and we didn't see her again for the rest of the match. They basically did virtually the same thing here. Aaliyah got a little more offense in this time, and she got the win. But this is the story of this team. Aaliyah is the weak link who gets taken out, and Raquel does all the heavy lifting. And they did the exact same thing here. So she was fighting off both these women by herself. Sky hit what they're now calling her over the moonsault. That's what they're calling her moonsault now, the over the moonsault, which should have been it, but Raquel kicked out. Bayley climbed up on the apron, yelled at the referee. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka, they ran out and chased Bayley away. Aaliyah returned to the apron, made a blind tag, and then dropped down again. So the heels had no idea what happened. Dakota performed a sunset backcracker to Raquel, and then Io put Rodriguez down with a crucifix driver. But Aaliyah, the legal woman, got back into the ring, snuck up from behind, and rolled up Dakota to win the tag team titles. They are your new women's tag team champions. After the match, Belair, Bliss, Asuka, they got back into the ring to celebrate with the new champions. They even shot pyro off to make this feel like a big deal. They played pyro in the building. They shot it off. This was a terrible ending. This was a terrible ending to a terrible tournament. Yet again. There is absolutely nothing about this tournament that I am going to remember. There isn't a single match in this tournament, a single story that they tried to tell. Because that's how I try to judge these things, right? Tournaments sometimes, it's very rare that you get a truly memorable tournament that has all these great matches and stories. You know, they do them out of necessity when a title is vacated or whatever. But there have been tournaments before that. I mean, like, I could think of certain King of the Ring tournaments and other championship tournaments that have had memorable matches. I remember the Gold Rush tournament in 2005, Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin. You can pick out those moments and pick out those matches. But this was just another tournament. They did it. It sucked. Half the matches in the tournament were not even given enough time. Maybe they shouldn't have been, because some of the matches that did get time were not very good. And then they go and they pull this finish on us. This was the wrong outcome to this tournament. Now, maybe they did it for a reason. Maybe it'll be a short-lived reign where in a couple of weeks, Sasha Banks and Naomi will reemerge and they will quickly take the titles off of Raquel and Aaliyah. Almost like they're transitional champs to get the belts back on the former champions. Maybe that's part of the story that they're going to tell here. I don't know what their plans are exactly for Sasha and Naomi, who it's pretty clear they're going to be coming back. But I was thinking about this. You know, even if Sasha and Naomi come back and they put the tag team belts right back on them, who cares? Like, truly, who cares if they end up with the tag team titles? I feel like it's just completely beneath them at this point. It was beneath Sasha Banks before. You're going to bring back Sasha Banks and just put the women's tag belts back on them? It's like the albatross around their fucking neck. Where do they go from here? They could work with Dakota and Io, okay? Who else? There is no division. I feel like if you bring back Sasha and Naomi and just put them right back where they were before, how is that an improvement over their situation before? And do they honestly believe that, yes, Vince McMahon is out of the picture now and Triple H has taken over? There's only so much Triple H can do if there's no actual division, if it's just a bunch of makeshift teams that frankly aren't very good. So I don't know what they're going to do with Sasha and Naomi when they come back. I feel like their return should be a big deal, and it should be bigger than just the women's tag team titles. I have no idea what they were thinking with this finish and choosing Raquel and Aaliyah, who, you know, works 3% of these matches, as if it matters, as if it's going to, you know, make them bigger stars because they won the women's tag team titles. The women's tag team titles would benefit by having stars holding them. Like when they first debuted the belts, they had Sasha and Bayley. Stars, established stars on the roster had those belts. But they had no division. So a few months later, right, not even, they dropped into the Iconics. And then what did the Iconics do with them when they won them? This had been my problem through and through. You know, it's very similar to Tony Khan. And the problem, I talked about this on the podcast on Sunday. When we talk about the women's divisions, and I went off the other day on the AEW women's division and how fucking awful it is as far as the booking and the presentation of the entire division, how little TV time they get, and all their matches basically take place in picture in picture. And if I were a free agent female right now and I had the option of going to work for WWE or I had the option of working for AEW, it wouldn't be a hard decision at all. I mean, unless one was offering so much more money, if let's say the money is comparable, I'm going to WWE. It's a no-brainer. Because even when they pull shit like this, with this women's tag team nonsense, the women in WWE, they do get a lot more focus than the women do in AEW. Look at tonight. They headline Monday Night Raw. This is far from the only episode of Monday Night Raw that the women have headlined this year. We went through a stretch of about 3 months where every single main event, every single Monday for like a three-month period, was a women's match. You'll never see that in AEW. How could you? Look at all the talent they have. They barely have enough time to figure out what to do with the men, let alone the women. But until that changes in AEW, I mean, nothing is really going to change. If I were a female wrestler, I'd much rather end up in WWE than in AEW. Anyway, so that's Monday Night Raw. Raquel is now a tag team champion. I'm sure because, look, they're very high on Raquel. That, more than anything, is probably why she is now one half of the tag team champions. They don't give a shit about Aaliyah. It's all about Raquel. Raquel is going to be the one that they push. They're very high on her, and they see it as a benefit to have a belt on her. Makes her feel like a bigger deal, I guess. So they're very high on her. Apparently, they're very high on her boyfriend as well. If all these reports I saw today are accurate, they're very high on potentially bringing Braun Strowman back to WWE. I guess he's finished controlling his narrative, I guess. We'll see if that comes to pass. Here's the Twitter poll. Definitely weaker than it was last week. Although, still better than the Dynamite score. Man, you know things have changed when Monday Night Raw has a better score than AEW Dynamite. Holy shit. You talk about Stranger Things. You talk about the Upside Down. 51.7% thumbs up for Raw tonight in the poll so far. 32% thumbs in the middle and 16% thumbs down. So go ahead and vote at Solomonster is the place to go to do that. You know, it's also sad. I may as well talk about this now just real quick. I'm sure I'll have more on this on the podcast this weekend. But I was going to mention the Velveteen Dream stuff because, you know, his name popped up in the news this week. Well, his name popped up in the news today, not this week. I guess it's the first day of the week. I have no concept of time anymore. I'm going from one thing I work on to the next. Every day is the same to me. People are like, oh my God, I can't believe it's the way. I can't wait for the weekend. It's Friday. I'm like, to me, it's just another fucking day. The weekend. I'm dreading the weekend right now for all the fucking stuff that's going on. But the Velveteen Dream thing, I did see that earlier. So basically, for those who don't know, the Velveteen Dream was arrested. He was arrested a few days ago down in Florida for an out-of-county warrant for possession of drug paraphernalia in Florida. This was not the only arrest that the Velveteen Dream has had over the past month. That's the one that came out today, is that the Velveteen Dream got arrested for this drug paraphernalia. He is still behind bars. He is still incarcerated. As far as I know, as we speak right now, he is still behind bars. However, this comes from PW Insider, records indicate that Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream, was also arrested on August 20th. So you go back a week, there was another arrest. He was arrested by Orlando police for first-degree battery and trespassing on property after a warning, each of which are first-degree misdemeanors. And he bonded out on that for $1,200. He pled not guilty. And he had an arraignment hearing for the charges against him scheduled for September 28th. That court hearing is now listed as canceled. And the victim in that case has requested confidentiality, according to the record. So, two arrests in the span of about 7 or 8 days. The Velveteen Dream has fallen on tough times. I'm trying to think in my mind, has there ever been a young prospect that has fallen so hard, so fast in the way that he has? I'm sure there has been, but none that I could think of immediately off the top of my head. I mean, this is a guy who should have been a can't miss on the main roster, who just completely flamed out. And, hey, you know, that's what happens sometimes. You can go from the penthouse to the outhouse with the snap of your fingers. That's how quickly it all can go down. What a fucking waste, I guess, is what I think of the entire thing. What an absolute waste of talent. Anyway, let's go to your super chats. Teddy Hart. Yeah, Teddy Hart. Absolutely. You talk about wasted potential. There's another example. Teddy Hart. Lakers Pats with the $1.99 NWA CYN, the real Forbidden Door. Yeah, there's the invasion that absolutely nobody asked for. Shinakuma. Every cent goes to all live streams you put out. Solid Monster account. Yes, thank you, Shin. Flamethrower Fluff Saul. Oh, look at that shot. Right to the back of the head. Man. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. I really enjoyed Riddle being much more serious. Do you think that it is here to stay, or will he go back to being completely goofy? Yeah, the goofiness isn't going to go away. I mean, for the Seth Rollins, match, he got more serious. But coming out of Clash at the Castle, yeah, he can't be serious all the time like that. The guy insulted his family. He got a divorce. The wife took the kids. That's a serious situation. So he's able to channel that and get serious. But he'll be right back to being goofy on TV in a few weeks. Lianza Duncan, no lie, Aaliyah blind tag was smart and creative. Still sucked that they went with that finish. Aussie of Steel, 97-98 Kane against Unmasked 03 Kane. Who wins? 97-98 Kane. Kemjin Zephyr. Forget Perk Angle, we now have Cut Angle. Very clever. Joshua Edwards, looks like Sasha and Naomi will side with Control. No, they won't. Rizzo with a $20 super chat. He says, great podcast. Also, bring back Dancing Solo for these intros, please. With how crazy a year this has been for wrestling, imagine if on June 1st I told you that 2 months later, WWE would have happy wrestlers and AEW would be drama-filled. People would say, I need to be drug tested. What a crazy year in wrestling, but a hell of a year for you podcasters. Oh, this has been a podcaster's delight. All this controversy, all this crazy shit to talk about. This has been like Christmas in July, in August. This whole summer has been absolutely crazy. But Rizzo, thank you for the 30. I appreciate that. King Bling Blah, do you think Mauro Ranallo will ever come back? I hope so. Even if it's just for special events here and there. Psychopathic Savior, I disagree that Uso Sammy was the best segment. Also, I feel Seth and Riddle was my favorite part. They were both great. Why don't we meet in the middle? They were both great. They were the best parts of Raw tonight. Joshua Edwards, Sasha, Naomi, and Control against Bianca, Alexa, Asuka, Aaliyah, and Raquel in War Games or a traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series would be my guess. So a lot of people think that Sasha and Naomi are going to go heel. Well, I guess because of Bayley. I don't know. I don't see them coming back as heels. Maybe with the Bayley connection, I guess it's possible. Rizzo with the 10 spot. LOL at Russo bragging about being a consultant for Raw for the last two. Oh, I heard that. Yes, I did. I heard that. I thought it was kayfabe news at first. But sadly, it was a real story. He says, the last 2 years were the most unwatchable years of Raw that I have seen. I don't know if he should brag about that. Well, he claims that he was only a consultant for the network. He wasn't writing television. But if he was consulting on stuff, then either Either he is the worst consultant on the face of the fucking planet, or USA Network thought so little of his suggestions that they never even bothered to run them by WWE. So either way, I don't think he realizes that even if that were true, that by revealing that, it does not make him look good. But I got a nice laugh out of that. I really did. I got a nice chuckle out of that. Vontel, buy, rent, sell. Best comedic segments. Zane Roman, Rock Foley, Austin Angle. I love them all. But we've only seen two segments so far with Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. So, you know, I can't say for sure because we've only gotten those two compared to all the other segments we got from the other ones. I'm going to buy on all of them. How about that? I'm going to take all your Super Chat money and I'm going to buy all three of those. There's your swerve, bro. I just swerved, bro. Can I be a consultant for USA, bro? I got even more swerves in my back pocket, bro. Come on, bro. Jacob Harrison. If Johnny Gargano ever beats Roman Reigns, Vince McMahon would crumble to dust. Vince McMahon would crumble to dust? I think half of fucking wrestling Twitter would crumble to dust. I think the whole fucking platform would go dark. Bernard Frederick with the $10 Super Chat. You were right. It doesn't matter if Raw is TV-14 or PG. The segment with Seth and Riddle proved that. It's not about ratings. The writing makes all the difference. Yeah, I mean, that's the point I made on the podcast the other day. Everyone who's belly aching over the PG and the TV-14 stuff, just look at what they did with Riddle and Rollins tonight. You know, they were edgy in that segment. The show tonight was TV-PG. It doesn't matter what the rating of the show is. What matters is the quality of the creative. It is the booking. It is the writing. It is how you use the talent that you have available to you. Don't miscast people who should be heels by making them baby faces. Don't miscast baby faces who should be heels. I mean, all of those things are far more important than what the little letters in the corner of the box says. You know what I might start doing on these streams when I go live? I think I might have like a TV Y7 box. And I'm going to put it in the corner, and we'll see how many people don't watch my streams because they think it's children's content. They'll see a TV Y7 box in the corner, and I'll still come on here and tell you to go fuck yourself. It doesn't make a difference. It's about the quality of the show. Rizzo, when you said clown at first, I thought you meant Noelle Foley's boyfriend that always dresses like a clown, or, of course, Disco. Well, I could see where you would have been confused by that. But no, I was not talking about Frank the Clown. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Bro, I'll tell you, bro. I went from watching the Blue Jays come back and win, bro, to see a mostly dead crowd watching women's wrestling for a cursed tag title, bro. That swerve, bro, was hilarious, bro. Bro, nobody cares about the women's tag team titles, bro. Bro, do you know how many women's tag team champions I booked in the Attitude Era? I will tell you, bro, zero. Zero tag team champions with the women, bro. I don't know how people listen to that. It's like listening to somebody at like 0.5 speed. I would fucking bang my head against the wall if I had to listen to 2.5 hours of that. King Bling Blah. Actually, wait, hold on. We got Bernard here. Bernard Frederick with the $5 Super Chat. I'm not trying to be funny, but why is The Miz acting like a rape victim? Maybe Dexter called him out on the t-shirt that he has been wearing. Gotta let the story play out, bro. King Bling Blah, buy or sell at WrestleMania 39. Cena versus Angle or Cena versus Theory? Cena versus Theory is far more likely. Cena versus Angle, there's no point. They ruined it. It's over. He retired. It's done. If he's going to wrestle again, I don't think it'll be for WWE. Cena, in theory, is a match that makes a lot of sense. Theory is the young star they're trying to elevate. That's the match that you do, because you got to be careful. You know, John Cena is not going to be around for very many matches. If you can get him in for one big match, it'd be a lot better to use him in the ring with Theory than it would be Kurt Angle, who, you know, frankly, does not need to be back in the ring. They had their shot, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it when they had the chance. Tyler, I think Sasha and Naomi will return this Saturday at Clash at the Castle, and Bray Wyatt. I had my hopes up for Sasha and Naomi returning tonight. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, what is the longest that you have gone without sleep? Currently, right now, I am at 22 hours, although by the time you reach the Super Chat, I will be at 23 hours. Well, you know, Madcap Moss has been hit in the back of the head with that box so many times here in these Super Chats that this guy has brain damage at this point. That's like the third time I've seen that Super Chat. The longest I've gone without sleep, it was definitely more than 22 hours. I think the longest I've gone without sleep, it was around 28 or 29. I think it was around 28 or 29 hours. It was, you know what I remember, actually, the first time I pulled an all-nighter like that, I felt fine. I actually felt more energetic than I expected. And then a few hours later came the crash, and I could barely keep my eyes, like, I physically could not keep my eyes open. Now that I'm a little bit older, it's not something I ever hope to do that again. I don't think that would be smart. And it's not smart for you to be up 22 hours in a row either. You should be getting some sleep. HBKC83, what would you do with Randy Orton when he finally comes back? I think you got to have an RK-Bro reunion before you officially break them up or have them go their separate ways. There was no resolution. It just kind of ended. But they were so over. I think people are naturally going to want them to be back together. So I would, depending on what Riddle is involved in at that time, and I just don't know when Randy's going to come back, so it's hard to say. I would try to work it in where maybe he makes the save for Riddle. You get the band back together for at least a few more months, and then you could always have them part ways. But I think you gotta at least finish out the RK-Bro run. Thunder Knight. Is there anyone from AEW that you don't see going to WWE, even with Triple H in charge? CM Punk. Angel Silva. $4.99. I hope Riddle and Rollins match starts off just the way that The Rock and Brock match did at SummerSlam. Bowling hot feuds need that instead of... I think he means boiling. I don't know if Rollins and Riddle having a bowling feud is not what they had in mind, I think, coming out of this show. Although Riddle's going to have a real problem because they won't let him bowl without bowling shoes. So that might be a default victory for Seth Rollins. But I agree, boiling hot feuds, they do need that. I do not expect Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle to have a collar and elbow tie-up to start their match on Saturday. That would be very dumb. The Yatagaratsu, $6 Super Chat. Rey Mysterio is the only one that I've seen worse than Sting in picking tag team partners. Batista turned on him, Chavo, Eddie. I know I'm missing a few. Now his son might be turning on. Dick the Cock Johnson, $4.99. Britt could win the belt on Sunday, and it still would not be the worst women's booking decision within a 7-day period. Amen to that. Rizzo, I did not know about this Velveteen Dream arrest. What a shame. Is there a bigger waste of talent than Patrick Clark? Such a shame. Uffman Entertainment says Raquel equals single. I don't know. Last I heard, I thought she and Braun were still an item, unless you know something I don't. I don't follow them on social media. I don't follow their every move. So maybe she's single. Hey, if she's single, hey, Uffman, shoot your shot, man. I'll be your wingman, bro. Fire Panda. I was wondering when we were going to see Fire Panda. Ended up missing the Raw review. Was out with the family, but at least I'm catching Be the Booker. Oh, have you checked out the Reliving the War? No, I have not. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. Sasha and Naomi coming back to control their narrative. I will kick myself out. Please do. Because if you don't, then I will. Uffman says, it's just wrestling, bro. It's just wrestling. DQ Schmeq. Who cares, bro? It's just wrestling. That's what I used to tell Dixie Carter in TNA, bro. It's just wrestling, bro. It's entertainment. Entertainment. Nobody cares about the matches, bro. Nobody cares about the matches. Now, you got me back in my Russo mode here tonight. I blame all of you for this. T-Mac, shame for the Dream. He, Sonya, and Mandy were clearly the stars on that season of Tough Enough. It was obvious when the show was on, those three were the guys. Who said that in the chat? Retro. You know, bro, I saw the news about Thunder Broza. Very sad for Thunder Broza that she had to give up her women's title, bro. I would have booked the women at All Out, bro. See, Tony Khan doesn't know how to book, bro. You have to book the women the way that I would. I am in television, bro. You have a fatal four-way at All Out, bro. And you make it over the top, off with your top. That would sell pay-per-views, bro. You know, on behalf of the city of New York, I must apologize to everybody else for our worst export. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. That bro rant has to be a new super chat. T-Mac, great Russo impression. I love it. Thank you, T-Mac. Fire Panda, I love the Russo impression, bro. Ricky Edmond, $5 super chat. There are people online that are jealous that Rhea Ripley wrapped her legs around Dominic, even though she was choking him. There were a lot of people who were jealous of Dominic. Got a lot of weirdos on the internet. Black Gappy, $2 super chat. Loomis kidnapped The Miz and made him watch CYN. I still say that Tyrus main event probably was worse. I'm sure, I didn't see the match. I'm sure Trevor Murdoch did the best he could with it, but from what I heard, Tyrus was pretty much Tyrus. I still can't believe that that wasn't part of an angle where Tyrus would be replaced by somebody else. They put Nick Aldis back in the match or something, and they actually had a pay-per-view main event, you know, their big 74th anniversary show with fucking Tyrus challenging for the world championship. We got Draven Lord. What would the wrestling landscape look like if Triple H was in charge 5 years ago? I think it would look very different than it looks right now. I think we're getting a taste right now of what it would look like. And you know, that's an interesting question. 5 years ago, AEW didn't exist. It makes you wonder, would AEW even exist? Maybe not. Maybe not. If Tony Khan was looking to kind of fill a gap that existed with wrestling fans who did not like the Vince McMahon brand of WWE, if Vince McMahon was out of the picture and Triple H was running the show, I don't know. Maybe there wouldn't have been a need for AEW. See, I always believe that you need an AEW anyway because you want to have at least that one other really super healthy alternative where people can go make real money. Say what you want about AEW, even if you're not an AEW fan, those people are making real money. So for the talent, at least, not even just for the fans, but for the talent, you want there to be an AEW. No matter what, whether Triple H is running WWE or not, you need that competition. Always said competition is a great thing. But I don't know. If Triple H had taken over 5 years ago, it's hard to know for sure. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, thank you very much. Darth Panic. Is the drama in AEW being blown out of proportion? It seems like this type of drama happens in every wrestling promotion. It's happening all at once. And I think that is certainly something that is, you know, it needs to be addressed before it festers and it turns into something so much more. That's the issue. It's that you have 2, 3, 4 things all happening at once. And if you don't bring it under control, it's like a raging inferno that it could turn into, right? That Tony Khan is at a very critical point right now where he cannot lose control of his locker room. So no, I don't think it's being blown out of proportion. And I think that he needs to make sure that he gets things in order before it gets out of control. And then he, you know, won't be able to necessarily bring it back to a place of great harmony where we were always told AEW is this great, it's this great place of harmony behind the scenes. And everybody loves each other and everybody sings Kumbaya. And the reality is that was probably never the case to begin with, because there is no wrestling locker room where everybody is singing Kumbaya. But when all of these stories are coming out at the same time, it's very embarrassing for the company. And it's coming at a time when even the on-air product, you know, it's the booking, it's not what it used to be. So that's the issue. It's all these things kind of coming to a head at the same time. It's not a good look. It's not a good look at all. Ricky Edmond, would I date a coworker? I mean, the heart wants what the heart wants. When you work for yourself, you don't have to worry about it. Turtlehead, 639 likes. Is that where we're at? Thank you, Turtlehead. I spoil everybody. I spoil you guys rotten. EJ Slemp, excluding Saudi Arabia, which country do you think will be next to get a big stadium show after Clash at the Castle? My pick is Germany. I think Canada would before Germany would. I don't think Germany's going to get it. Probably someplace in Canada, maybe. Big show up there. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, bro, the main event of All Out is a reverse battle royal for the world title, bro. If Punk can't go. Punk will go. I expect the rematch to be announced on Wednesday nights. It'll be Punk in Chicago against Jon Moxley. You wait and see. Rizzo with the $5 super chat. As you know, I am not an AEW fan, but they need to stay in business, and I hope Impact, MLW, etc. stick around. Competition is necessary for all businesses. I agree. Andre Israel, I think it's cool that you do commentary for wrestling shows, so how did you get into doing commentary, and are you the babyface or the heel commentator, bro? Got invited to sit in on a match 4 years ago. It went well, and it just kind of went from there. And then when there was a more kind of full-time opening on the team, I kind of slid into the spot, and it just went from there. And we have gelled together as a team. I think we do a fine job. I think you put us up against any commentary team on the independent scene, and I think that we do a hell of a job. Not perfect. You'll learn something new every day. You're never happy with your last performance. You always pick it apart. Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that, or I wish I would have said this or done that or said this differently. But, you know, you get better and better and better each time. You learn from your experiences. It's been a learning experience for me. It's hard to believe it's been 4 years. 4 years. I can't believe it. Anita says, Tuco Salamansta. Thank you very much. Thank you for the $1.99 and Food High. No cheese, brother. No cheese. I give you the Superfly Splash, brother. No cheese and no coconut, brother. No coconut. I still have the scar on my head, brother. No coconut, brother. Rizzo. Thoughts on Gallows and Anderson possibly coming back, although it doesn't sound like that is as close as Bray and Braun. I have no interest in that. I really don't. I mean, I guess it would be another team for the tag team division, so there is that. But at this point, the Good Brothers, they just don't do anything for me. Not interested. All right, you hit the goal. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Let's be the Booker. Let's be the Booker. You smashed that light goal. I got to thank you guys. Said we had to have at least, what was the goal tonight? 500? I think that was the goal, and you smashed through it. So let's kick things off here. We will do the men's match. Why don't we do that first? That's usually where we begin. Be the Booker. What are we going to come up with here tonight? Can we come up with something better than what they gave us tonight with Dakota and EO against Raquel and Aaliyah? I think we can. Hey, Fire Panda, thank you for the membership. Hopefully he'll be able to join for our watch along on Wednesday. We begin with Eric Bischoff. Controversy creates cash. That's what he said in his book. That was the title of his book. Eric Bischoff, the only man to beat Vince McMahon for 83 straight weeks. He has parlayed an entire lifetime out of it. Has a whole podcast called 83 Weeks. Maybe he'll step into the ring with Vince. Maybe. There's that super chat again. This guy has irreversible brain damage. Poor Madcap Moss. Look at that. Boom. Irreversible brain damage this man has from all those shots to the head. All right, Eric Bischoff one-on-one with Hollywood Hulk Hogan. How about that? Eric Bischoff and his best buddy, his best bud, Hollywood Hogan, together again. As a match, though, that sucks. So that was, of course, going to get the buzzer. You had to know that. You had to know that was getting the buzzer. Don't give me that ding, ding, ding. Give me a break. That match would have sucked. What's the low standards with you people? I thought your standards were better than that. Besides, you know, Eric would be doing the job. He'd be doing the job. He'd be laying down for Hogan in the first 3 seconds of that match. Hey, look, it's Tori Wilson, everybody. Tori Wilson. Oh, man. Tori in her prime, man. One of the most beautiful women. Beautiful women in the entire world. Tori Wilson. I had a thing for Tori. Still looks good today, too. She has aged gracefully. We have Tori Wilson going one-on-one with Toni Storm. I like that match. I like that match better than Bischoff and Hogan. Toni Storm. Hey, we landed on the better Toni Storm image here. You know, there's more than one Toni Storm image. We know what the other one is. At least we landed on this one this time. All right, let's see what we do. Let's see what we got here with the tag teams now. This is it. It all boils down to this. We begin with Asuka. Look at this. We just crowned new women's tag team champions tonight. And there they are, the women's tag team champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane. Let's see who they're going to be stepping into the ring with here. That's a new one. I don't think we picked them before. Asuka and Kairi Sane going to be stepping into the ring with Harlem Heat. You know, I like that match. I like that match. If we get, like, some of the old Kana from when Asuka was still over in Japan, you put her in the ring with Booker T and Stevie Ray, I think she'd give them a good run for their money. Asuka and Kairi against the Harlem Heat. I like that match. I like that match. I don't know why, but I do. Well, that was interesting. I bet you didn't think I was going to ring the bell on that one now, did you? I swerved you, bro. I swerved you. Samoan fan 101 says Kurt got old. Yeah, no shit. That's what happens. If Every year you celebrate a new birthday, you get 1 year older. That's kind of how math works. But look, Kurt, for a guy who's got jelly for knees and the neck and all the other issues that he's had over the years, I think he looks just fine. He actually dropped some weight. I thought he looked pretty good. We got King of the Night. $10 super chat. Last time I was in San Francisco, I went downtown looking for a woman. You know what I mean? I wanted a woman. I couldn't find no woman. I found a lot of men who looked like women. All-time great promo. All-time great promo. Dr. D. Dr. D. There was more than one Dr. D promo where Mean Gene was corpsing on camera. Like, it took everything in his power to not just fucking bust a gut laughing in the middle of the promo. He'd put his hand over his mouth. He'd be, like, looking in the background. Schultz would be like, "What's so funny? I was looking for a woman. I couldn't find no woman." The politically incorrect Dr. D. David Schultz. Ricky Edmond. Would you like to see Busta Rhymes in Halloween Ends to see Michael get his revenge on him? No. I didn't want to see Busta Rhymes in the first movie. Why would I want to see him in this one? There should be no celebrities and musicians and, you know, people like that having cameos in movies like Halloween. Keep them out of those movies. Hey, T-Max says, "We want the gold, sucker. Oscar, we coming for you." Maze the Great 757. Hey, look, there's one of my favorite super chats. Down goes Disco. Maze the Great 757. He's been a channel member for 15 months. "As of last night, I am no longer Frost. Just wanted to let you know. Also, are you still salty about the 2015 World Series?" No, I'm over it. I'm over it because now we're going to get the 2022 World Series. So it's all good. So Frost is no longer Frost 757, huh? Is Vince McMahon responsible for this name change? And David Schultz should have been bigger. Well, he shouldn't have smacked John Stossel. Although I'll tell you what, I'm glad he did. John Stossel. Fucking guy. It's the best thing he ever did. Yeah, I know. BlizzFan is really hoping against hope here. BlizzFan, I'm a little worried about you. What if Bray doesn't show up this Saturday at Clash at the Castle? Are you going to have a meltdown in the chat on the stream that afternoon? I'm worried for you. What if Bray does not show up at Clash at the Castle? Because he is convinced that Bray Wyatt is going to interfere and cost Roman Reigns the championship. But what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? I hope BlizzFan is going to survive the show if that doesn't happen. We got a couple of final super chats here. We got Food Hive just donating to thank you for all the time you put into entertain and provide content for us to get through life, especially when it comes to me and my content. You are the man. Thank you. Solomonster, what was for dinner? That's right. What was for dinner tonight, everybody? For me, it was a burger and a hot dog. Summer's winding down. We're not going to have too many more days for the burger and the hot dogs. So a good old burger and hot dog is never a bad thing. Fire Panda. A Solomonster, not including my way. What is the best WrestleMania pre-match promo song? Are you talking promo song or promo package? Because my way was my way. Well, that was for the entire WrestleMania, right? It wasn't just the Austin or Rock video. So I'm not sure what the question is. Is it best WrestleMania song or is it best song used in a promo before a big match? Because, you know, that cover of running up that hill for the Shawn Undertaker rematch at 26 is one of my favorites. Samoan fan, remember when Heidenreich assaulted Michael Cole? Yes, I do. I need not be reminded of that. Winter's Paw, I think people are being hateful. The crowd cheered for the main event. Also, it was nice of Nash to roast that piece of shit Ospreay. That jerk needs to go away. People can cheer for the main event all they want to. I thought that the women's tournament was a waste of time. And I thought that was the wrong outcome. I mean, if the fans enjoyed it in the building, congratulations. I didn't. I thought the tournament sucked. Foodha, I've never forget Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, but he forgot to free the pro wrestlers. LOL. I forgot what Sing Song made that statement on Dark Side of the Ring. Oh, that's right. Oh my God, who said that? Who was it who made that dumb comment on Dark Side of the Ring? About Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, but he didn't free the pro wrestlers. If I rolled my eyes any harder, they would have gone right in the back of my head. Who the hell made that comment? Oh, God, I don't remember who it was. I don't remember. But anyway, Ricky Edmond, who could win in a fight, Michael Myers or the blind man from Don't Breathe? I didn't see Don't Breathe. I will always go Michael Myers. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, if Bray interferes in that match, I will pay $50. Well, I know who I'm pulling for to interfere in that match now. I'm pulling for Bray Wyatt. I'm going to hold you to that. All right, I think I'm all caught up on your super chats. Some good shit tonight, guys. Good, 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 good stuff. So what I'm going to do... Wait a minute. I'm getting a text from the Raw GM. Hold on. So we have a message here from the Raw General Manager who wants me to remind all of you that Clash at the Castle is a 1 p.m. Eastern start on Saturday. And as soon as the show is over, I'm going to be live back here on YouTube. So you can come on back here to the channel, and I will cover all of the goings-on at Clash at the Castle. We might have a brand new champion. After 2+ years, we might have a brand new champion on Saturday. So come on back here for that. But of course, we're not done yet because we have Dynamite on Wednesday. We got SmackDown on Friday. I don't know about Rampage, but we got SmackDown on Friday. Clash at the Castle on Saturday. Podcast on Sunday morning. All Out on Sunday night. Raw next Monday. I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'll sleep when I'm dead. And actually, there's two shows on Wednesday. For those who were late to the stream, I just want to remind you. We're doing a SummerSlam watch-along for Bret Hart and the British Bulldog, 1 o'clock Eastern. So if you're at work or whatever you're normally doing in the middle of the day on a Wednesday, carve out some time to join us for the watch-along. I'm going to open it up to everybody. This one time, usually it's a channel member perk exclusively, but what we'll do is we'll have the live chat open for members only. So if you're a channel member, then you'll be able to participate in the discussion, and we'll talk about the show as we watch the epic, epic main event between Bret Hart and the British Bulldog. Darth Panic wants to know where he can get this double-sided Sound Off logo mug. It's very simple. You go to thesolemonster.com, you'll see the link tree, and it's the last link on the bottom. It says Get Mugged. That's it. It'll take you right to the ordering page, and you can get yourself a mug. And you might even be able to customize it. So that is the place to go. Fire Panda, thank you for the $2. Very much appreciate it. Yes, this is the SummerSlam that Hulk Hogan claimed that He looked out into the crowd and he saw an empty chair where he had left a ticket for a sick Hulkamaniac, and that's when he knew the child had died. Of course, it just completely flies in the face of the fact that he actually was not at SummerSlam that year. I don't believe he had any reason to be at Wembley Stadium for anything that year. So one of those many Hogan tall tales that he has told from over the years. But yes, Hulk Hogan was not on that SummerSlam show. But the British Bulldog was smoking crack in the lead-up to that pay-per-view, and 5 minutes into the match, he told Bret Hart, I'm fooked. I forgot all my spots. Bret, I'm fooked. Uffman, thank you for the $2. He says, I'm fooked. Yes. All right. This has been fun. Thank you for all the love, all the support. And we'll do this again on Wednesday. I will see you Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock, for the watch-along. And then Wednesday night, we'll see if we actually get a main event announced for our All Out pay-per-view, which is less than a week away. We have no world championship match officially announced. I am sure that will change on Wednesday night. So until then, I will see you guys there. And always remember, bro. Always remember, bro. It's all about the swerve, bro. All about the swerve. Hey, maybe Swerve Strickland can get Vince Russo to record a little bumper for the beginning of his theme song in AEW. You think he'd do it? So when the song starts, it goes, bro, it's all about the swerve, bro. And then it goes right into the song. You think he'd go for it? I don't know. I'll see you guys Wednesday.